Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Rodrigo Bruno, and today I'm going to talk about some of my research that takes great advantage of using checkpoint restore tools such as Creo. Couple of facts. So I'm a PhD student at the University of Lisbon. I'm also a researcher at INESHQT, also at Lisbon. All of this work is also work by my supervisor, Professor Paulo Ferreira, and in my PhD, I'm mostly focused on trying to improve the GVM adaptability to big data workloads, and this has led to two research directions. The first one was to provide a good GVM live migration tool, and the second one, and this has been my focus for the last 2 years mostly, was to reduce GVM application latency due to bad garbage collection decisions. So I mostly work on garbage collection. I made some contributions to Creo. I'll describe just a little bit in the couple of slides. And I collaborated with some companies, one of which Gelastic. I'm collaborating with them right now. They're kind of sponsoring this talk. Well, in this talk, I will mostly focus two research directions. The first one is a work for runtime-aware live migration. This was a system that was presented last year in Middleware conference. And the second one is I will present a tool that's part of a broader system that will be presented this year in Middleware. And this tool basically is a memory profiler for applications. Both of these tools or systems take great advantage of checkpoint restore. So I will start with the first one, which is called Alma. And I think you're mostly motivated already for checkpoint restore, but if you're not, I'll try to convince you just a little bit more. Imagine that you have a couple of physical nodes. In this example, node 1 to 4, and each physical node can hold up to 4 VMs. 4 VM can be, for example, a system VM, for example, Xen or KVM, or can be a container if you want. And we have a couple of services deployed on this mini cluster. And for example, imagine that you have a crashed service and you want to redeploy a new one because you are losing requests from your clients. You can simply clone an already existing one. This is a faster way to provide a new worker node for you to recover your service. It's closer, okay, sorry. So this is use case scenario number one. Number two is, for example, well, now you can collocate worker nodes. This will make the communication faster because all the worker nodes rely on are in the same physical node. And this also has a good property because the cloud provider can now shut down node number 3 or put in some low-level state. Use case number three is, for example, you have a spike in requests and you want to basically increase your capacity to hold the requests. And then you can just clone existing worker nodes to improve your response rate. Okay, so application live migration, in order to be live, must be fast, right? So in order to be fast, you need to really reduce the size of snapshots. And there are some systems that use system VM migration, but if they use this technique to migrate a single service, you are kind of migrating the kernel and all the other services or other processes that are running on the same system VM, and therefore they are going to pay a lot of cost for something that they don't want. Even if you use process migration or container migration to migrate a single service, there are examples, for example, using runtimes such as the OpenJDK that you want to migrate an application, but you will also be migrating a lot of memory or a lot of data that you really don't need. The example for this is, for example, if you have a Java application, you have a heap, which is where the objects of this application live. But this heap, for example, might be 12 gigabytes. But right now, when you start migration, your application might be using only, for example, 4 gigabytes. And therefore, if you use a blind technique that will migrate a single process, you'll have to migrate 12 gigabytes instead of 4 in this example. And this is really something that we are trying to handle with this system. So in Alma, we migrate JVM processes, and we use garbage collection to reduce the size of the snapshot. So basically, we are avoiding migrating the amount of memory that is not being used by the application, aka dead objects are separated and are not migrated. And we even go a little bit further and try to decide for each piece of memory. For example, consider that a piece of memory is 1 megabyte block. We consider that if this piece of memory can be collected and then migrated faster than just migrated, we will then collect it. So basically, we established this invariant, and we slightly modified the garbage first, which is the last garbage collector in OpenJDK, to impose this condition. So basically, it will select pieces of memory to be collected only if these pieces of memory can be collected and then transferred faster than just transferred. So basically, this means that collecting pieces of memory takes time, and if it's not worth it to collect a piece of memory, we are not going to, and we are just going to transfer it to the other side. In the paper, there is a more formal description of this and how we came up to this. If you want, you can look up the paper, or we can discuss it. I don't know if all of you are very familiar with garbage collection, but if you don't understand something, or if I'm saying something wrong, just tell me. Okay, so this is the migration workflow. This is a very simple two-step migration workflow. Basically, there is an initial snapshot, which is a total snapshot of the process, and then there is an incremental one with regard to the first one. So imagine that there is an external agent that triggers the migration, for example, a cluster administrator. And there is a coordinator process, which is a modified version of CRIU. And this coordinator will interact with an agent, which is a pluggable component to the JVM. This basically is a component that mediates the communication between the coordinator and the JVM itself. And the workflow is very simple. So basically, the coordinator receives a request from an external agent, forwards this request to the JVM through the agent. The JVM performs a migration-aware collection, where it selects the pieces of memory that should be collected, then collects it, and then informs the coordinator of the free mappings that, the memory ranges that contain no live objects, and these memory ranges are going to be avoided in the process of creating a snapshot. Well, the snapshot is transferred to the destination side, and once this is done, there is a final incremental snapshot that transfers the control to the destination side. This is the architecture of the system. Again, we have a source side and a destination side. We have an application running inside a JVM, which is our target, and we are going to migrate it. And we have a coordinator, which is composed by a DOM component and an image proxy on the source side, and a coordinator and the image cache and restore at the destination side. So both dump and restore are CRIU with very few modifications. We added the image proxy and the image cache because we really needed a very fast migration through the network. So basically, CRIU by default writes files to disk, or some, for example, you might have an NFS share or something like that. And we really didn't want to pay the price to write things to disk and then transfer it through NFS or SCP and have to load everything to disk at the destination side. And this also has some good properties. For example, if you restore something to an image proxy, which is kind of a buffered, is a buffer of snapshot in memory, instead of writing to disk, you write to memory. So the dump process is much faster. And this component will then transfer everything to the destination side. And the image proxy also holds everything in memory. And therefore, the restore operation is also much faster because it doesn't have to load files from disk. Another good property, and I think this is currently not possible in the current version that is in the repository, but in the past, we used multiple sockets per each image file, and therefore, you could almost start restoring the process even before you could finish your dump operation. And this was cool because this was really working very fast. ALMA was implemented on top of OpenJDK Hotspot 8. The coordinator is implemented using CRIU, and we extended it to add this image proxy and cache, which enables us to migrate the process through the network instead of using files. Well, I have some numbers for you. We evaluated the migration process using ALMA and CRIU, which is our baseline. We have a previous solution, which is JVMM, which is a Xen-based migration system. It also uses garbage collection in a more naive way. And then we have AlmaPS, which is similar to JVMM, but uses Creo. For the environment, we use a couple of OpenStack VMs and use the Capo and Spec JVM benchmark suites. Okay, so we have the application downtime. This is basically the time that it takes to transfer the control from the source side to the destination side. During this time, the application is stopped. And on top, we have the Capo results, and we have a lot of benchmarks inside the Capo, and the same thing for Spec JVM. And obviously, the smaller the better, means less downtime, which is good, and everything is measured in seconds. And as you can see, Creo is the one with worse results, basically because it does not avoid garbage, and therefore you are paying the price to transfer the whole JVM process, while the other solutions avoid garbage, and therefore the size of the snapshot is much, much smaller. In this slide, you have the total migration time. This is basically the time that it takes since the user says, well, I want to migrate this VM until the VM gets migrated at the destination side. In this approach, you can see that JVMM is the worst solution because it basically is based on a system VM and it will pay the price to transfer a lot of stuff more. Well, since this is a system VM, it will transfer the kernel, other process, yeah.
I assume with Creo you're still using pre-dumps?
Yes, so okay. This is using pre-dumps.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me go on slide. All the other solutions are very fast because the downtime is proportional to the size of the second snapshot, which is kind of the incremental snapshot. So, but still, since Creo does not avoid garbage and the others don't, the others do, this is the overhead that it pays off. In this approach, JVMM is the worst solution, mainly because it has a lot of overhead to transfer other things that are not important for the application. And we only have a couple of results for JVMM, mainly because this is not open source and the authors didn't share the code with us, so we couldn't experiment with other benchmarks. And then this is the network bandwidth. Mainly, this is the amount of megabytes that we use during the migration, basically meaning that, again, JVMM uses more network bandwidth to transfer things. Okay, so just to sum up this system, it uses a couple of techniques to improve migration, mainly using garbage collection. The cool thing about this is that it is possible to improve JVM migration without touching application code. And this is great because you just have to add a couple of lines to the JVM and you can provide much improved JVM migration. And therefore, all the users that use that JVM get improved migration without having to change their code. So it really is simple to just add a couple of lines of code to your JVM or to some JVM if you want, and to have improved JVM application migration. Well, this is open source. You can check it out at GitHub. Now, POM2 is a tool that we developed very recently. We have this problem because we have a project that, in order to work, really needs to understand the lifetime of objects in our applications. And I'm talking about Java applications. So basically, the problem is that for each line of code that allocates objects, we need to understand the average lifetime in terms of garbage collections that this object lives. So we considered a couple of, well, existing approaches. We have, for example, current Java profilers, but they mostly work based on samples of memory. And so they periodically sample what objects are alive, and they give us some estimates. And this was really difficult because even if you have all the information, we might get results wrong, and it's very difficult to estimate these values. And if we base our estimations on estimations, we will get double the trouble, basically. So we really couldn't rely on something like estimations for this. The second solution was to use, for example, GMAP, which is a heap dumper for Java. But I don't know if you use GMAP but it kind of takes a lot of time. For example, for you to dump a Java application with 4 gigabytes of memory, it can take dozens of minutes, and therefore this is a killer, and we couldn't use it because it is very, very slow. So we kind of have to develop something new, a new tool to do this job for us. And we basically wanted, still want to have full heap dumps. So after each garbage collection, we want a full heap dump of the heap to know which objects are still alive since the last garbage collection. And we want to have incremental heap dumps because since the heap can be very, very large, we don't want each heap dump to be proportional to the size of the heap, but it should be proportional to the amount of work that the mutator is doing. So basically, the size of the snapshot is no longer proportional to the size of the heap, and therefore the heaps can now be as large as they want. And we also want to avoid garbage in these heap dumps because we are not interested in snapshotting dead objects because they really are not important for this purpose. So this is just a cut of the architecture of the whole system, but this is just to give you an idea that we have a hotspot JVM that is continuously being snapshotted to disk. And by the way, the dumper is a component that really is snapshotting everything. This is Creo, I think, with zero modifications. So, well, Creo is used to perform the dumper component, and it will iteratively and incrementally create snapshots of the objects that live in the application. And we only have to add a couple of lines of code to the OpenJDK to enable this. Basically, we add a modvice call for all pages that contain no live objects. And this basically means that Creo will avoid these pages, and therefore our snapshot will not include pages that do not include live objects. Okay, so I also have a couple of results comparing this tool with GMAP, which is the standard tool for creating heap dumps in Java. These results, we had these results using Cassandra, which is a key value store, Lucene, which is an in-memory indexing tool, and GraphG, which is a graph processing engine. We have a couple of workloads. For Cassandra, we use YCSB workloads. Lucene, we have read-write transactions on top of a Wikipedia dump. And for GraphG, we use a Twitter graph dump, which we use to run PageRank and connected components. So here we have the snapshot time. This is the time that it takes to create a snapshot of the application. Remember that we are going to take these snapshots every time there is a garbage collection cycle. So this can be like 10 seconds apart or even like 1 second, 1 second and a half apart, depending on the application. As you can see, well, these results are normalized to GMAP, meaning that if GMAP was plotted, it would have one in all samples. And we present results for different workloads. And as you can see, our tool, which is basically Creo, is able to reduce by a large, large factor the time it takes to take a snapshot. For example, even in the first snapshot, which is a full snapshot, it will take the whole process to disk, it takes 75% less than GMAP does. Basically because GMAP is very, very slow, taking all the objects and writing down to disk, while Creo simply dumps memory pages to disk. This is very faster. And in the long run, for most workloads, we are able to reduce up to 95-96%, which is very good, and this really enabled us to run really difficult workloads and periodically create heap dumps. We also have results for snapshot size. So basically, this is the amount of space that the snapshot occupies in disk. As you can see, the first snapshot, which is a full snapshot, is even a little bit larger than GMAP, mainly because using Creo, we are going to dump the whole process and not only the heap, which is the memory space where application objects live. But in the long run, again, we are able to reduce up to 55-60% in the space that in the size of each snapshot, which again is good. Well, just to sum up, we believe that Checkpoint Restarter is a very powerful tool, and it can enable very interesting lines of research. And we just presented two lines of research that take advantage of this tool, but I think there are a lot more and more a lot to come. And since it allows a more fine grain, well, we can decide which resources to snapshot or not. This is more controllable environment, and then you can decide. This is a very interesting technology, and I can emphasize this. So if, for example, OpenJDK developers are open, there is a possibility to add just a couple of lines of code that would really improve the migration of Java applications without having to touch the real code of this Java application, and this would be very good. I think there are some open problems, even to Creo, for example. If I have some sensitive data in my application, what can be done? For example, if I don't trust the OS or even Creo code, what can be done to that matter? And for example, if I have some local files, this is a really pain, because if I have a local file and I have to migrate my process, I don't know if this is solved already, but basically we have to, or we had to prepare an NFS share to put these files there and basically make this share available on the destination side. It would be cool to have everything automatically sent to the destination side as well. Well, I think this is it. Thank you for your time, and if you have questions, I'd like to take them.
You said that you want to run CreoDump and CreoDump and CreoRestore together. I mean, you don't want to wait CreoDump and start restoring process on the remote host mm-hmm. when the source node just continue dumping process. How are you going to synchronize to this process? I mean,
well, we didn't have any extra synchronization code. It was mainly like starting restore at the destination side, and it will consume everything that is already arriving, and when it needs something that is not yet there, it will block. So this is not anything magic that we introduced.
Yeah. But I think this process can be optimized mm-hmm. Because now we just dump a process one by one, mm-hmm. but if we want to run this just dump and restore together, we probably need to, I don't know, something like dump process tree, send this mm-hmm. process tree to the remote host, then dump all files, send them to the remote host, and so on, just mm-hmm. to make some stages when you can do this parallel, I mean, send to the remote host and start restoring something
okay.
without blocking.
Okay, we didn't have any, so it was only a single process, so when I was talking about this, this is a single process, and the thing that happens is each process has different images, and the restore side will try to read these images in some order, right? And since we had multiple TCP channels, this could be done with a single TCP channel with more synchronization stuff, but since we had multiple synchronization channels, and basically the memory pages is what takes longer to transfer to the destination side, all the other images would like go ahead and they would be available sooner in the destination side. So the restore would set up everything while the images, the page map would be just, while the pages are still being transferred, the restore side will set up and just be waiting for more pages to come. That was the cool part.
Okay.